podcast?
Movie podcast.
Are you getting this?
Is there a single memorable line from any of these films?
Welcome to the Movie Podcast, everybody. Episode number 168. I'm your host, Tiggs, and with me, as always, our Peter.
Okay. I'm a Red Hulk.
No, that was mine. You gotta be fucking kidding me, dude.
And Alex.
Alex, go to sleep.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Nailed it. Alex had the good one. Well done. All right. And here we are. March 13th. I've never said the date before on one of these podcasts, but there we go. Mark it, our last podcast ever on Skype. So we could do like a Skype roundtable. We could even say, you know what, we'll do another one by May. But we'll see how that goes. We'll be figuring out another way to record this.
Talk about before then, so.
I know. Well, yeah, we save it to the end when we talk about what's coming up soon. But before then, let's just talk about we've seen a decent amount of movies. One of them was unceremoniously removed from this list for good reasons. But let's just jump into it. We're get through looking at this list. I think that we should probably start with something fun, something interesting. Then now I look at the list and that could be any, but let's start with The Monkey. Peter, what did you think about The Monkey?
I wish it got to the second half faster.
Yeah, I can see that.
The main actor whose name is completely escaping me at the moment.
James?
Yeah. It spends way too much time with them as kids. And then when they're adults, we spend way too much time with the boring brother.
Yep.
And when the other brother comes on, I'm kind of like, this movie's kind of cooking.
Yeah, and, but it's only like the last 20 minutes when he like finally shows back up and isn't dead. Yeah.
Yeah. So I really wish they got to it way sooner. But it is. But that's not exactly. I mean, that's what it would make it better, because it is fun.
It's very fun.
Yeah.
It's lots of good deaths.
Yes.
Okay, yeah. It's not trying to be smart, which I will appreciate after Long Legs.
Yeah, totally.
And I like that, like Osgood Perkins. I don't know how quickly this was made after Long Legs, because I mean they came out pretty soon to each other. That he's certainly just like, I'm just a horror filmmaker who's going to have a good time. Like, he's not, doesn't seem to be doing, like, oh, I have to make this kind of movie kind of thing, which is nice. I like how big the monkey is too.
He's
much
pretty big.
Than you guessed.
Yeah,
is the scale not what I think it is?
They use a banana for scale.
I think it's a lot bigger than you would expect it to be.
I enjoy, like, especially like the opening the opening bit of this
opening.
Yeah, the Adam Scott bit where you don't really know what's about to happen, and it sets like the tone, and very much in the same way that Hard Eyes kind of sets the tone in the opening scene, where I had no idea what Hard Eyes was going to be, if it was just going to be like full on like horror, if it was going to be stupid, or if it was just going to be like, this is going to be some dumb gory fun to watch. And the monkey really pulls it off, and then it keeps going with it. I think that there's a bit maybe too much of like the shock gore horror comedy throughout. It's not bad. I do think that like the ending with it goes maybe a little bit too much, but other than that,
Thing's a little unnecessary, like a little doesn't really work as much as the rest of it.
The B thing definitely doesn't work. Everything else seemed relatively like bad luck, like really, really bad luck plausible. Then there was the B thing. And you're just like, I don't get that. Right, whatever.
As you said, the opening,
the school bus though. It was into the school bus.
Yeah, I really like the ending of this. But as you said, like we spend so much time, way too much time with the boring brother after the opening of this movie, which is kind of loud, kind of absurd.
Yep.
And like kind of announcing itself like, hey, this is going to be a little silly.
Yeah.
And I don't think we return to that for a very long time.
Yeah.
Maybe until like the woman at the motel.
That does get, I'm trying to think about like where else it would, but it takes a good like, yeah, I don't know,
yeah,
45 minutes until we get there basically again. And even like you've got like some good, like Elijah Wood, like popping up, Osgood Perkins obviously like pops up as well. Like there's some good, like weird stuff in between and good, like creepy actors in between that just aren't like you want them to be playing to the heights that this movie should be playing at, because it starts by telling you it's going to play there.
Yeah, absolutely. I think if we saw a couple more deaths and that was like the looming threat earlier.
Yeah.
Not earlier, but in that middle section when like we're learning more about his adult life.
Yeah.
Because they roll up to the town at one point and they're like, yeah, a lot of people have mysteriously died. And you're kind of just like, it's fun to watch that in a quick little montage. But I think if that was like rationed out.
Oh, just throughout. Yeah. Instead of like spending so much like backstory and just trying to build the dude.
Yeah.
And
I guess almost teasing where the monkey is and who has the monkey.
Yeah.
Because once we get there, as I said, it's a good
time. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah,
it's a lot of fun.
As I said, I'm surprised that this is like his next film. As I said, I wasn't really sure where he was going to land, but I like that it's different. I like that it's sillier. It gets like the ending's kind of huge, which is very fun.
Yeah.
But it's still like very like we don't care.
Yeah.
So I'm very interested to see what he does next.
Yeah. Is there a character as fun as Long Legs though in it?
Great question. Probably looks
pretty fun.
Like a monkey legs or something.
Yeah, monkey legs.
Monkey. I mean, the monkey's fun. Don't get me wrong.
The monkey's pretty fun, honestly. The obsession around the monkey and like the hand position of the monkey and like how it, like it's all very well done. Yeah, I think you're right. I think I'm excited to see what. I don't know what like kind of budget he has for these things, because this, it feels like incredibly low budget.
What kind of monkey business it does?
Yeah, exactly. What kind of
monkey business Thora Birch is there?
Oh, fun.
He's got another movie coming out in October called Keeper that also has Tatiana Maslany in it.
He's just pumping out flex.
Really is.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
So it's like three movies in 14 months. It's pretty impressive.
Pretty impressive. Pretty impressive. Speaking of pretty impressive, let's talk about Hard Eyes, because we were just talking about it a little bit. That's impressive. That's an impressive transition. That was from me. Yeah.
So this is from the guy that did Josh Rubin, who did Scare Me and Werewolves Within. That's right. And I got to say, this is my least favorite of the bunch.
I think the ending is such a deflation.
Yeah.
That. Like the killer reveal is kind of just like a who cares moment.
Yeah, because, for sure.
Because of how much this movie plays around with being a romantic comedy, that's really annoyed that there's a slasher movie also in it.
Right.
Which is a fun idea, which I like.
Yeah.
I
never watched a trailer for it because I saw 20 seconds and I was like, this doesn't look like it's for me. But that's kind of funny.
Yeah. It is pretty fun. I think there's some weird tonal moments in the movie that don't really work for me.
Yeah. But like,
and that's the main supposed to be the characters, bit. I think, are very charming together.
Oh, I
think you're probably right.
I thought that they didn't have any chemistry.
I think that there's some things that kind of slow it down. I think that overall, like, the playing in the space, I think, is very good. I thought that, like, some of the... well, I don't know, like when they're hiding in the car and the killer's coming and people are just like, you know, the couple's having sex in the back of the car with, and you're just like, I don't like, what is the tone here? Yeah, doesn't make sense.
But, so the concept of this is that this killer kills couples on Valentine's Day.
In a random city. This is
in a random city.
We start that this is the fourth year.
Yeah.
And like, so everyone's wondering if Hard Eyes is going to pop up and where he's going to pop up. Huh. Which I do like that we start so deep into the lore of Hard Eyes.
Yeah, me too. There's stuff I like totally. About it, but I think it just overall, I think it doesn't quite, it's not quite funny enough on the silly side and not quite.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it actually does a good job of having some fun gore.
It's got some good deaths. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. But yeah, I wish it was funnier.
Hmm. Yeah. And then so as like starting so late into it kind of takes the stakes off of who Heart Eyes is. It's almost like you don't almost like never have a question about who this is.
Yeah, you kind of know.
So the fact that they try to connect it to what's been going on is just like, I didn't need this and it means nothing to me.
But Russ, there's an ongoing Hobbs and Shaw joke.
Oh,
Jordana Brewster's in it, and
yeah, Jordana Brewster's in it. Yep.
Okay.
And I like Devin Sawa. I'm glad that he's kicking around again now.
He's back. He's back. Took a little time, but he's back.
Very good. The Chucky team.
Oh, I love
it. I never saw that.
It's great. It's great.
It's fun.
But yeah, it's our Hard Eyes isn't bad, but I wouldn't make, you know, a big to do to watch it. Yeah.
So hungover on the couch, nothing better to do.
Absolutely.
Totally worth watching. Totally worth watching. Yeah. I'd say arguably more fun than The Monkey, but not as good as The Monkey.
Okay. I think that's a really good way of saying it.
All right. Yeah. All right. So let's keep it kicking. You know what? Let's bring it to something we've all seen. Let's talk about Companion.
One of my favorites on the list.
Yeah.
That's, it was really enjoyable. I watched it I've actually seen it twice. Once in the theater and then later at home. It really, really holds up on second viewing.
Yeah. I wish it didn't treat its plot as a reveal.
I was about to say that. Like,
well, it shouldn't have, because it's in the freaking trailer. So what's the point?
So that's the thing. I never even seen a trailer, and I knew that one fact.
Yeah, regardless.
So
yeah,
they treat it way too much like not even just a not it because what it should only be is a reveal for that character, but it's presented in a way that it's also a twist for us.
Right.
And that's just not true. When a pretty interesting reveal, like 20 minutes later.
I think the problem is when something is even remotely original now, studios get so scared. And they're like, make sure people know enough about it before they go in. And I'm like, that actually fucking kills this movie. Like,
yeah.
I don't know if it kills it, but it just...
kill it. But, like, we're not stupid. Like, the audiences that go is give us a trailer with a lot of out of sequence shit to make us think something wackadoodle's going on, and then just let us fucking watch it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think that's really kind of trickles down to like a problem with direction, I think, and how that sequence and the whole opening and then how that sequence is presented. That, as I said, that it feels like they're trying to reveal it to us when the only person it should be the reveal is to is her.
Right. Her, yeah, who has no idea. Yeah.
Yeah. Because, as I said, because we have like three reveals coming up that I think are very interesting and fun.
Are much better, honestly.
Yeah.
This is I think it's a fun cast.
Rupert Friend is delightful.
Yeah. And I think it's like.
Sophie Thatcher is very good. She's been good in
Yellow Jackets. Yeah, she's like a friggin' Scream Queen now. Like,
yeah, totally.
Yellow Jackets, which is ostensibly a Screamy Queen show, Companion, totally. Heretic.
Yep.
I think she's got something else coming out soon, another horror.
Actually, but I thought Harvey Guillen and Lucas Gage were awesome.
Very good. So yeah, fun. Really good.
So fun. Yeah.
Like
Jack Quaid, his just.
This is good Jack Quaid, not potential to be. What's his fucking name? Boy Kills World. You guys know what I'm talking about.
Didn't
make shit make... like Novocaine. I literally said this.
Oh, like nope. Yeah,
did we do the same thing last with the
this is the same Skarsgård? Yeah, totally. Yep.
Yeah, yeah.
Yep. Yeah, Skarsgård.
This is him outside the Skarsgård zone.
It's a callback. It's whoever made it to hour two or two of the last podcast is really getting a truck out of this one right now.
Yeah, I just can't with Novocaine. It looks so stupid. But and not in a way that is fun. But this is good Jack Quaid.
Yeah. Yeah. I find him so charming that I'm going to at least give Novocaine a try.
You let me know if it's good, because I probably won't. Yeah. But yeah, no, Companion, very fun, and it doesn't wear out its welcome at all. Yeah.
No, I good think short. It keeps adding more in.
Yeah.
That it never stretch of this movie stagnates like with what that section's for. Like you could almost like say it's like maybe has four or five acts to it.
That sounds about movie. Right.
So like I think that really works. Like the whole like first the murder, then the hunt, then the return, and like the kind of
stuff,
and then the last stretch. Like I think it keeps adding stuff on. Like I think building you could really get hung up way too long in that hunt sequence.
Yeah,
for a lesser movie.
Yes, and when you watch it a second time, it really knowing what's going to happen, it really gets to the point very quickly.
I need to give it another watch. I definitely enjoyed it. I really liked just the playing around with AI. I think that I was like, the reveal isn't necessary. It's not big, but like when the whole marketing is like from the people who brought you Barbarian, like, which is what this whole thing is based on. Early, that's not based on, but like that's what the drive kind of was for me. I was like, oh, I wonder what's going to happen with this. I wonder what's going to happen with this AI robot. And it was like, oh, the reveal was that it's a robot. Okay, cool. I do want to watch it again. Just well done, and like small cast, which I really am enjoying these like smaller scale like horror movies that are just like, you know, ostensibly like, I guess they're indie horror movies at this point that are actually doing pretty well and not like I don't know, The Apparition or whatever.
I think a lot of Hollywood movies suffered in COVID trying to make real worlds feel real with limited cast and limited background actors. And I think horror has found a way to embrace like we can have a very few amount of people in certain situations that it at least like tests us with how we write it. And how we direct it, that we can be constrained to this. I think it's worked out, and as you said, with a lot of these.
Yeah, I think horror found a way to make that a creative choice rather than like a hindrance.
Yeah, it's a feature, not a bug.
Yeah, yeah,
totally.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Exactly. All right, let's keep it going. Let's keep this thing moving. Well, let's get to the other side of this one, and let's talk a little bit about Wallace and Gromit: Vengeance Most Foul.
You really know. Thought you were going in the gorge direction.
Yeah. When you said the other side of it, I was like,
yeah.
Oh, gorge, gorge, gorge.
don't tell me how to do my podcast.
I mean, I think because we're the only ones that saw this. And you know, it's a Wallace and Gromit movie. It's got its visual charm, aesthetic stuff. But I think for the most part, you're probably with me on this. It's fine.
Yeah, so newer Aardman haven't really been thrilling me. I liked Curse of the Were-Rabbit well enough, but like Wallace and Gromit works so much better in those tiny chunks and those little shorts, because I think I think Gromit is like 800 times better character and more interesting than Wallace. But, you know, Gromit is a silent film star. And you can do a lot of Gromit in a 15-minute short, but you can't do a ton of Gromit scenes in an 80-minute movie or 70-minute movie. You have to lean on Wallace, and it gets a little tiring. But, you know, it was fun to see Feathers McGraw again. So that wasn't without its charms. But, like, as soon as you start feeling a plot building, it's kind of like, we don't need this. This is, like, these characters work in perfect little, like, slices. And it's like the whole gnome thing was way too close to the rabbit thing.
Yeah, and just, it was, it kind of felt its length a bit, too.
Yeah. So, I mean, perfectly fine. I don't think it was Academy Award nominee level at all.
No, you should have been Moana, too. That's what you're saying.
Yeah, if Look Back was a feature, that should have been nominated. But I don't know I think we might have mentioned, like, an animated film that should have been nominated. Besides, you know, as you said, Moana 2 and...
Transformers 1.
Transformers 1, yes, of course, which I still need to see.
Good stuff. Yeah. So before we started this, Russ was talking about how he's not really a Wallace and Gromit fan. I will say I have never seen a Wallace and Gromit movie before.
Wow.
Not even a short.
No. I mean, like, I guess like a commercial for these things. And I'm just like, that dog looks cute. And then I just never like got like went down the were rabbit hole or whatever to actually like kind of. Yeah. Get into one.
Watch the original three shorts, A Close Shave, Wrong Trousers, and Grand Day Out, I think is the other one.
Wrong Trousers does sound familiar.
Yeah, Gromit is just like an incredibly well-designed character that he does not have like eyebrows or that much of a face. And there's something, I don't know, the magic of the expressions they're able to get out of him with like just eyes.
Okay, and, yeah.
And kind of like a weird brow is pretty incredible. And then Wallace,
Wallace and Gromit is nothing like Sam and Max. Is that what we're talking about right now? Like two very different.
Okay. I think there's three people that probably get that, but yeah.
but one of them's on here with me, so that works out.
Yeah.
Okay, so watch the original shorts. Stay away from the movies for the most part.
Yeah, I would say if you like the shorts and you want some more, maybe try Were-Rabbit before you try this one. Curse of the Were-Rabbit has a really great performance by, I think, Ralph Fiennes plays the bad guy in that, and he's very fun.
Okay, all right, into it. Yeah, cool. All right, then let's go to the other side and talk about Paddington in Peru. Yeah, other side of the world. That's what we're talking about right now. New Paddington in theaters last month. Not anymore, but streaming everywhere now.
I'm going to let you guys talk before I start yelling.
Okay.
So it's a new Paddington with a different director and out is Sally Hawkins, right?
Which is very weird, yeah.
And she got disappeared. And instead we have Emily Mortimer, who's taking over as the mother. I don't know her character's name.
The mother.
Just Mrs. Brown. I don't think.
Yeah, it's super weird that that only one person doesn't come back, but everybody else does. A little jarring. And I was like, all right, new director, new matriarch. Yeah, all right. I still liked it.
It's fine.
It's nowhere near as good as the first two.
Yeah, exactly.
Enjoyable.
It felt very episodic in the sense of like, if the first two are like really awesome movies, now it's like, all right, this is the quality of a Paddington movie if you're going to get them every 2 years.
Right. Like, this would have been like the kids' show version that's got like slightly worse animation and like
like when they made like 63 episodes of Aladdin, that show wasn't that good, but it was not bad.
Yeah, exactly, totally fine.
Yeah,
and I'll you know what It wasn't until I think I read Peter's review that I realized I was like, oh, Sally Hawkins wasn't in that one. It was a different person. Okay. Yeah, that's great.
That's insane.
Didn't even faze me. Didn't even faze. I was like, that bear's the same though, right? Great.
Oh, that's I just awesome. Love and, you that know,
it's
bear.
It's got Olivia Colman who's always fun to see and I think always does a good job.
And it's like the minute you see her, you're like, all right, I know everything I need to know about this character.
Yep.
And that is kind of comforting. This isn't nearly as, like, two is borderline a perfect movie, but this was still I was hanging out with my friends.
Yeah.
And
not all hangs are the best.
Antonio Banderas is so good. And especially like after like the last time we saw him in Indiana Jones, whatever. And like, he's there for like 5 minutes and then like falls off and dies or whatever the hell happens in that movie. I was like, Antonio's got some stuff.
Are you talking about Indiana Jones or Uncharted?
Both, potentially.
Because I wouldn't know. Because I'm pretty sure he dies like very quickly in Uncharted too, doesn't he?
Does he? Mm. I can't remember.
He's the because he's the bad guy, or at least we think he is. And then that little girl kills him, and then she's like, "No, I'm the bad guy."
Doesn't he? He dies in Dial of Destiny like right away too, as like one of like Indiana Jones.
I don't remember
like,
him being in that movie.
Guys, you're thinking of Spy Kids.
Yeah, he brings them out. He brings Indiana Jones out on the boat before the eel attack sequence.
What? Right, no, you're talking about Baby Girl. We're talking about Indiana Jones
here. Yeah, remember how we can't make Indiana Jones come?
Yeah, that's the one. That's
I saw this movie in theaters, actually with Alex. I don't remember any of it.
I don't either.
All right, Pete. What do you? Or Alex? Yeah, no. Go ahead. If you got.
No, I mean it's again. This is great. This is a level of comfort food that it's like, you know, it's not like. I don't know. I didn't love it. I wasn't as angry by it, but it's fine. Yeah.
Better than Home Alone 3.
Yeah. Peter, what's your rant?
I'm gonna have to go with Tiggs and say it is in fact better than Home Alone 3. I'll start with a compliment.
There we go. Nailed it.
it's let's go back 10 years when I alone on an island. You know, the world was great. Trump's president, like, presidency was a year away, and we thought it was a kind of a funny joke. But I remember like screaming at people, like, "No, Paddington is good.
Yeah,
you need to see Paddington." And everyone comes around because there's magic to these movies. And especially the second one, as Russ said, a nearly perfect movie or a perfect movie, depending on if you're me or Russ. And this is just so – if you think of this as a Paddington movie, this is a one-star hunk of shit. I kept trying to fight myself about if I'm going to think of this as a Paddington movie or not. And I kept fighting with myself because it's not that. It completely misunderstands in my mind what is so charming and fun about those movies. Of course, like those movies being about something of merit, and not just this one, which is just an adventure film. It's not about anything.
And totally.
So why do another Paddington movie? Like the first two movies took this beloved character who you only might just know by like sight or by name, but created an actual film language to it that, as I said, being about something bigger than Paddington and being like this incredible just like force for good. And it was the thing that we always constantly talked about with those movies, like the little mini silent film comedy shorts that would happen in those movies.
Yeah,
that this movie, like, if you're not gonna do them to that level, don't try. Like, the sequence when Paddington can't get into a hammock isn't a Paddington scene. That's not a Paddington. That's like a no insult, but that's like a that scene would be in a Chris Farley movie, a person I love.
But yes. You're just adding another star to this thing right now.
That sequence doesn't have any magic to it, or it doesn't build. It's not. there's no imagination to it. It's just a bear who can't get into a hammock. And it's like, and it's not even unbroken. There's like cuts to it. It's like, you don't get what's good about those movies. You don't get what's fun about those movies, or as I said, capital M magical about them. And that all is completely sucked out for me. There's no magic in this movie. I will agree that Antonio Banderas is having a lot of fun. And I like that. I'm a big fan of that. Olivia Colman didn't work for me at all. I thought that song was so fucking long and not funny.
I don't remember the song.
I don't remember the song either.
She played a song on the guitar.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I vaguely remember that.
It was like a Sound of Music thing going on for it. Yeah, totally. Yeah.
And the Sound of Music bit. And it's just like her. It's just this isn't anything. And it was so frustrating. And I was so bummed out. Like, I went in with the expectation that this isn't Paul King. This isn't the Paddington movies. But maybe they tried something. And they didn't really try anything except, we're going to make you cry like a Paddington movie made you cry before. We're going to attempt to do that at the end.
It got me at the end.
Also, and it just doesn't work because they don't build that. That was never Paddington potentially not coming. I'm spoiling Paddington 3. Paddington potentially not coming back to London was never a concern.
I was concerned.
That wasn't what the movie was about. That was a concern in the last 5 minutes. You thought maybe Paddington wouldn't come home 5 minutes before Paddington said, but you're my home. Like, that's not a plot. That's not an arc. It's not anything. I'm going to stop. Sorry. I'm so mad. Right.
So it seems like you didn't really like it. That's the sense I'm getting.
So annoyed.
Did you like seeing Hugh Grant at the end?
No, I thought that was so not funny. There wasn't a second of that was funny.
I was walking out, so I don't really. I turned around watched.
That was okay. Yeah, it was fine. It wasn't great.
It's cute. It's nice. There aren't very many movies for kids that are just nice. Yeah. So
I'll give you that.
When I consider the fact that these movies, adults like them, but they're not for us.
Right.
I can appreciate it's even as an adventure film, this is like, you can watch this with your kid and not have to deal with dumb bullshit. It still feels like the Mr. Rogers of movies.
Yeah. Yep, totally. Yeah.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, you're not going to be able to make that many masterpieces. So knowing what it is and who it's for, and that it's not for me, the 41-year-old man, I like it.
Yeah,
Oh, yeah, happy early birthday tomorrow, Russ.
Thanks.
Oh, yeah.
Perhaps. The big redacted.
I think you and COVID have, like, the same birthday, huh?
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. Cakes in the shape of a bat. I get that. My thing was, there's not a single reason why it's Paddington.
Paddington's character.
I don't think it's there. I don't know. I don't see the point of doing this. It's just annoying. As I said, I already said I would stop, and I'm actually going to stop starting now.
All right.
Would you like it if it was a spinoff called Piccadilly?
Okay. I'm in.
All right, there we go. Nailed it. Perfect. All right, let's keep it moving then. Let's go to the other side
of the afterlife
and talk about Russ nailed it. We're talking about presents.
Hell yeah, dog.
I think this was a fun little experiment.
I think so too. I think it was very well directed, very well shot, moved around. I liked how the camera obviously kind of being the ghost in the house. You could see it getting annoying or even tiring, but it's so short that it really works. I like how it will get agitated and annoyed and scared as well. And I think that all really works and it's told visually very well.
Yeah. I think it works a whole lot better as a, not exactly as a ghost story when it's more when the camera's more about all the things you might not know about what's happening in your house.
Yeah.
That if you're not talking about, there's some weird stuff in this movie that I don't really know the point of. Lucy Liu's desire to fuck her son.
That was weird. That whole shit was weird. That was really weird.
So I don't know how. So Soderbergh, I love. Soderbergh edits his own films, and he edits every night after shooting. And I can't imagine he went home and wasn't like, I fucked this up. It feels like she wants to fuck her kid, and we should do this again tomorrow. And he's like, never mind. Let's go. Let's keep going.
Yeah.
There is a sequence that you're like, is this movie about Lucy Liu fucking her son?
Yeah.
And luckily, it's not.
No, it's not.
But
as far as we know, to be fair,
fawning over it.
Yeah. I think the daughter is really great. I think the dad's really great too. I think this is it's kind of shocking. Not exactly, but like the kind of conclusion of it, I think, is pretty shocking. Especially the two things that are revealed.
Towards one in the mirror. And then the other of just like what's been going. Yeah, I didn't think that.
Nowhere. I was very surprised by that.
Wait, the mirror one?
No. The
or the identity one.
No, I guess kind of. I don't want to spoil it because this is like it completely. What it was a complete surprise, but what was going on with the boyfriend?
Yeah, totally. That was a shock, but I also didn't really. I didn't feel like it was all that well earned.
No.
Just like, but it was totally shocking.
Yes, but I didn't mind it because, as I said, when it feels like a movie that's just about the things that you couldn't tell.
Right. Yeah, that's true.
Only just based on like the things that you observe and you see that there could be a million different things going on behind that.
Yeah, I watched it twice. And then there was one scene that I kept rewinding because I just couldn't understand. Like, so when the boyfriend's like, before becoming the boyfriend's like first introduction in the house and like talking to the brother, and he's just like, no smoke, no. I have like, I don't understand what kids say. I don't even understand what the dialogue means in this room right now. We need to move on. I put the subtitles on. I was like, this didn't help me at all. I don't get this. But yeah. I think it was like very, it's really well done. I think that the very, very final reveal, I listened to a podcast about the movie with like a spoiler cast on it as well, where I was like, oh, that's what that meant? That's not what I thought happened at all.
Yeah.
It was more interesting to think about it in that respect I don't want to say too much because I do think that a lot of it does hinge on all of these things.
Yeah, and as I said, fun little exercise. If you're interested, give it a chance. It's not like annoying in its conceit of being a first person through the perspective of the ghost movie. I was never annoyed by that. I was more intrigued by it. And luckily, I don't think it ever tries to be scary, which was nice.
No, yeah, it doesn't.
Because I can see that being like super annoying as it's like trying to scare you with like out of your, it would just be like people turning to the camera and going,
which would be awesome if that happened, to be fair. It would have been great.
Definitely give it a try.
Yeah it's worth watching, and it's like 80 minutes long, so
yes.
Yeah, there you go. All right, let's parachute in to the gorge. Let's do it, Peter. All right. So you say this is best movie of the year for you so far?
No, not best movie of the year. But so my dad was in town the weekend the Gorge came out. And he was like, I want to go see the city. I said, no, we're watching the Gorge. But it was just one of those things that like we were sitting down. It was me, him, and Caitlin, and we were in like, even before I was like gonna even ask what everyone wanted to do, I was just like, fuck it. This feels like the easiest decision. We're watching The Gorge.
Yeah, totally.
Instead of trying to find a show, trying to talk about a movie to watch, I was like, you know what? This might be the most inoffensive decision that anyone could make. And it kind of it's perfectly fine. It's fine. It's charming. I think Anya Taylor-Joy might be at her most charming in this movie.
She's very good. Yeah.
Surprising. Miles Teller, who can sometimes be a little annoying, was like perfectly fine. Doesn't really retract.
That's kind of annoying.
Yeah. But as I said, I think she makes up for him. And then I was pleasantly surprised about even knowing that it was directed by Scott Derrickson, who did like Black Phone and the first Doctor Strange.
Yes.
And some yeah. other. Oh, the Insidious movies.
Sinister. No,
Sinister. Yeah. Even knowing he directed it, I was very surprised about what exactly, like, the visuals of what's in the gorge.
Yeah.
I think
it looked gorgeous.
So spoiler, but it turns out they're in Ithaca.
I got it.
Yeah,
there it is.
So yeah, but as it tends all the time, like building up the mystery of it. And then there's like the first attack sequence, quote unquote attack sequence, when they're on either side of the gorge shooting at these monsters coming out. And you're kind of like, this is dumb. But
yeah,
when they go in, I think it goes a lot harder with the visuals than you would expect it to. And I was very surprised and very happy with as I said, the look of inside the gorge. Spoiler alert, they go in the gorge.
Can't believe you wouldn't spoil Presence, but you'll spoil that.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, it's not called the gorge because they're just looking at it. Like,
do you know? Who knew? Who knew? People could have been just like, yeah, let's just keep checking out this gorge. That is what their job is. It's just be sitting there monitoring the gorge.
Yeah. And Titanic was about the people waving the boat off.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So they go.
I only watched the first 10 minutes. So.
I would say if you're bored, if you're high, if you're just looking for something like shut off your brain, dumb. I got to say that the gorge has got to be your choice.
Okay. I think it was fine. Right. I don't know. I wasn't crazy about it. I think that Miles Teller is just is kind of an, I don't know, his whole poetic his whole poetic face in the whole thing is a little just like too much for me at times. You're just like, just come on, man. Like, just you're just supposed to be like a sniper's like watching this thing right now. It's cool. And I think that like once they get together, it really like loses a lot of steam for me. I really love the first like 45 minutes where it is just, it's them just kind of across the way and on like, they're just trying to figure out ways in which that they can like befriend. I really love all of that. Completely. And then after that, it's a little bit weirder and just kind of slower. All right.
Yeah.
All right. Let's keep it going. Let's clone ourselves, resurrect into Captain America, Brave New World.
Resurrect all these incredible Hulk characters.
So many incredible Hulk characters. What'd you all think of Captain America?
Bottom of the barrel expectations, and I left kind of enjoying it. And then when we signed on today to start to talk about it, I kind of talked into myself into hating it. Already.
Go ahead.
I said the only thing I've said out loud about this movie was, you know what? I thought it was fine. I've never actually said anything about it until we started chatting, and I'm like, oh wait, no, it's not.
Here's the thing. It is fine. It's just fine. And
at its best, it's fine.
And I think that is, I don't know, scary place for Marvel. Because I don't think this movie pushes the narrative that, like, oh, the MCU's dead. They're out of ideas. But it also doesn't push the narrative that the MCU is back. So this is just, like, a nothing.
The Captain and that's America a weird movies place. We're always kind of good.
Yeah, totally.
And I think that, like, for one to be, like, for me to be like, meh, I'm just going to take a nap instead of finishing this movie. It's not like a good sign.
Well, I and think especially, where they went wrong. Like, here's the thing. I'm fine with everything you're doing to Captain America now. I think having Anthony Mackie's Sam Wilson with, you know, vibranium shit just to make him extra superhero-y. Cool. Great. Makes sense.
Totally.
This is cinematic. I think you need to make his lack of actual superpowers, like, you need to level the playing field for him a little bit. So that was smart. But then attaching him to a sequel to a poorly received movie from 17 years ago, however long, like, are you sure that's a good idea? Because I'm going to tell you, it's not. Mm. That movie came, Incredible Hulk came out in 2008 in June, 5 weeks after Iron Man. And it was,
yeah, that was crazy.
Fucking thud. I was 24. I will be a certain age tomorrow. Like, what? Like, why did you attack? Like, you could have put him in any movie and it would have worked if you used, you know, even remotely more recent character. Yeah, okay, so you're trying to make your big thing Red Hulk.
Yeah.
Okay, cool, that's fine. Even to a certain extent, but like, you doomed him the minute you put Red Hulk in this movie and then hardly put him in this movie.
Yeah.
And you made it a Hulk movie.
Marketing is about Red Hulk.
Yeah.
So the marketing's about Red Hulk. So you made a sequel to Hulk without Hulk and a Captain America reboot-quel without anybody from his world besides Falcon, New Falcon.
Oh, don't forget future Congressman Bucky Barnes.
Yeah,
okay, sure.
Well, you know what? I don't know. I guess craziest things have happened.
Yeah.
So, but all that being said, this movie outkicks its coverage because it was the conception of this was poor.
Yeah.
And it still ends up being like, all right. Like, this is not bad Marvel, but it's definitely misguided.
Yeah.
And there was enough visually with like what they did with Cap and Falcon that I'm like, oh, these guys would have worked so well in a movie suited to their, like, maybe that Serpent Society shit should have been where the movie was. Like,
yeah.
It's as opposed to like cutting it out and throwing in Giancarlo. If you're going to get Giancarlo, use the.
Yeah, it's
then you could have really made that move, like a better move, like, because you got him and you did hardly anything with him.
Oh. So dragging up Incredible Hulk stuff, I don't think we need Red Hulk. We certainly don't need Betty.
No.
That's just weird tease throughout the movie. Just
that didn't make me sense. Later, yeah.
Which, like, that reveal is only like, hey, we got her to come back. Kind of,
like, which was also something that I had to look up on IMDb and be like, oh, she was in this before. Got it. Okay.
I like the idea of bringing in the leader, and especially in the movie, in the first movie where you're finally going to talk about how the fact that there's like a dead celestial sticking out of the earth for
right.
5 years.
Yep.
Frozen. This movie kind of is about all of the things that the Marvel Universe has buried. And like, that's where the leader comes in. Like, hey, I've been completely buried away from all this, and I'm going, and like, I'm pissed about that kind of thing. I wish, but as you said, that's not Sam's story at all.
No, yeah. And they chose to attach themselves to like the least successful parts of the Marvel universe. It's like, oh yeah, Hulk, no one remembers. That's also, we've had 45 Hulks since then, and now he's smart, and that sucks. And no one likes She-Hulk. Yeah, let's do that. And remember Eternals, the movie that nobody liked, even though I think it still had some merit. Let's attach our host. Just fucking, you should have just said, all right, mutants are here now. Like, like that would have been the move.
Yeah,
that would have been totally fine.
And it would have been like, hey, you know, we've learned this lesson. We don't do this to people. I'm standing up for the right thing. Like, it would have been so easy. You didn't need Red Hulk. You didn't need any of that.
Yeah.
You needed, one mutant to like, spaz out and then him be like, no, this is, and like, there you go. Now you've slowly introduced more mutants, and that's what we all want anyway.
Yeah.
Attach yourself to something that we want to see, not something we didn't like seeing.
Right. It's so surprising because, go ahead, Tiggs.
No, you go ahead.
I was, because of what you were saying, it's surprising of compared to other Captain America movies, because even the first one is a complete origin story and it's completely about Captain America the way that you would want an origin story to be about. But Winter Soldier is really a movie about S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yes.
But yeah.
It's still very much a personal character film about Captain America as well. Even though it's about S.H.I.E.L.D., it's about the Winter Soldier, there's a ton of emotion on this Captain America, on Steve Rogers. Civil War, which has 50 characters, still finds so much time to, again, be about Steve Rogers.
Yep.
And they find all this room, and this movie's not about Sam Wilson. And they, and it would have been so easy if, like, it's really, the problem is, like, they did a show, which was all about whether or not Sam Wilson felt okay being Captain America. And he is.
Yep, and totally.
They only hinted at, like, the thing they danced around was whether or not he was going to decide to take Super Soldier Serum or not.
Right.
And that was, like, 2% of the plot, which should be so much larger. That should be his arc, especially if you end with him fighting Red Hulk as a non-powered individual, even with or without, as you said, a vibranium suit as the plus up. Like, it has to be about him deciding what type of Captain America he is. Now that he knows that he is.
Right.
What type of person he is, especially when you do that big scene with what's the new Falcon, Joaquin? No. What's that? His side?
That's a good question.
Say New Falcon.
Yeah, you could just say New Falcon. That works.
Yeah. Especially going to have to do all the thing of like, hey, you're the one that I really wanted to be.
Yeah.
That inspired me. It's like, so we need to, this movie needs to be about what type of hero he is.
Right.
But there's too much shit around that. And a thing that you succeeded in other Captain America movies.
I think that, the movie's like, it's middling. It's fine, I guess. I think that at this point, middling and fine for a Marvel movie ends up just like being way worse in my mind. I think that especially when there was a time where we were just like, okay, you guys got to get away from all the other stuff, make a standalone movie. And then like Shang-Chi and like a couple of the other movies came out, and that was really great. Now this one, it's Captain America. Kang's not going to be a thing anymore. Like, there needed to be something with a new Captain America, brand new movie, to do some kind of a reset here, to do something big and to really move something forward. And by like the end of the movie, we're basically where we were at like the end of the show that we watched for however many weeks. That was just like a decent arc for Sam. Like, and there's nothing here at the end of this, at this point. It's just like, okay, well, most of the stuff has been kind of figured out and Adamantium is here, I guess. Yeah. So like maybe, so that's the big reveal. Like, they couldn't have thrown that in like a fucking off scene, like off topic part of the show. Like my problem with this is that like Russell's saying, it doesn't move anything forward. And as a Captain America movie, it has to move something forward. Like, this is the reason that these ones come out, is the reason why there's like been so many Iron Mans and Thors and things like that, is that like the big tentpoles need to push things. And this just didn't push any. Like Ant-Man 4, like, I mean, the second two, like, there was nothing going on. Like, if this was an Ant-Man movie, fine. Like, that can be as standalone as you want it to be. It doesn't really matter. Who cares? Right. It's Ant-Man. This is Captain America. This should mean something going forward. And for Sam to be in like the first spot here, like first big starring role.
And if we know he's going to be the new leader of the Avengers, I mean, we assume that if he's going to be the new leader of the Avengers, we need to see why. They told us a little bit about why, oh, he listens and all that shit, which is cool. But you told us more than you actually showed us. Yes. And you're a visual medium.
And Sebastian, Bucky Barnes steps into this movie and feels 10 times more important than him.
I know. It's that was thinking of that like afterwards, about how excited I was to see Bucky for like 15 seconds and being like, that's not a good sign. Weird.
The movie seems to respect Bucky Barnes more, even though the TV show was about him too.
Right.
So like, how is he in this movie for 2 minutes? And the movie is almost like nostalgic for that character. And like, yeah, almost wishes he was around. It was so, yeah, it was so weird. It feels like two episodes of season two of The Falcon squeezed into an Incredible Hulk movie.
Yeah.
And like, for this to have nothing to do with whatever is going on in, or seemingly, Thunderbolts, seems like a real missed opportunity. Yeah. Like, yeah, this was the, this, because Thunderbolts kind of looks pretty good. And you could have drafted this off of that to sort of rebuild us giving a fuck about characters, especially if you took so many off the board. Like, I feel like Thunderbolts even could have, like, I feel like they should have just slowly but surely introduced, like, a handful, not even a ton of mutants, but just, like, one or two mutants in this that have some, like, Omega-level shit going on, and new Cap being like, listen, we can't just throw people in the raft, blah, 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 blah. Would have been so easy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, from a direction standpoint, I mean, these movies are all the same, so it's hard to say whether something was well directed or poorly directed. These movies live and die by like how they're written. And yeah, I feel like this could have, there was enough here. Like, I think they visually, they got the language of Cap, of new Cap, down really well. And I want to see that, but I want to give a shit about it. And you have to put other characters in the movie that I give a shit about. And you have to stop telling me why he's great and show me.
Yeah. Because it's like, I'm so tired. Like, the post-credit scene is like the ninth time they're like, well, something's coming. It's got to be big.
I didn't even watch.
So the thing is like, if this big event is coming, who's around and who's going to be the focal point? Who's rallying people? Like, who is not exactly in charge? So, as you said, this movie should have been about Sam's ascendancy to that seat.
Right.
Especially even though the movie understands that that's the thing, when they're like, hey, Sam, I want you to get the Avengers back together and like restart it, do all this stuff. It's like, well, when is that going to happen then? Because if it happens off screen and that's in the Secret Wars movie, that's stupid. Yeah. And if it's in the Secret Wars movie, that's even more embarrassing that you waited until not his movie to do it in.
Yeah.
Especially when people have been openly criticizing your movies for the better part of the last 4 years.
Yeah.
You had time. You had plenty of time to reconfigure. You guys save a ton of money for reshoots and all that stuff. Why didn't you do that? Because Fantastic Four is going to go in a whole other direction. So what is the through line that makes us care about the multiverse from this universe? Because I'm guessing that all that Fantastic Four shit, that'll be somewhere else. So that'll be a Doom from somewhere else. But why, what is grounding all of that? Especially once you've basically took Kang out of the paint. How does this matter in this universe? Because Doctor Strange is gone.
Yeah.
Cap, or wherever he is, he ran off with Charlize, and Thor is doing whatever the fuck. Like, you needed somebody to be able to now know, oh shit, things are about to get wild again, and this movie could have been about him trying to put the band back together.
Yeah. Which would have been,
and Thunderbolts could have even continued to be about like just the fractured nature of the world right now, and you could have him come in there to try to like to there's lots they could have done. There's so much they could have done, and it's like, you guys have all the right fucking characters, you just put them in the wrong movies.
Yeah. So like, Infinity War starts and it's Doctor Strange one of the newer characters, going to find Tony because Tony's important. Tony's in charge. And then it's Wanda and Vision, the new characters, being rescued by Steve because Steve is important. Steve is in charge.
Yes.
How could you have a moment like that in this other movie? Except just say, well, I guess everyone's here now.
Yeah. Right.
Who enters that movie with fanfare except the inevitable clapping we do when we see Spider-Man because we love Spider-Man?
I was going to say it's Spider-Man.
Like people that, I think don't know anymore.
Yeah.
Right.
So
it's just kind of completely flat. And it's weird we're like 6 years since we've seen like Shang-Chi.
Yeah.
What's he up to?
What's he doing? The Eternals? What are they doing?
And like with Shang-Chi, like he's got the riz to kind of be to play off of somebody too. Like you could have had him and Sam starting to like put people back together.
Yeah,
totally. Would have been great.
You have him or someone, another new character who's instead of President Red Hulk, who's coming to Sam being like, we need you to be this example again. Something's coming and we need a leader and we need you to step. We think it should be you. You are the whatever, you know, like you are the person to do this. You know, if Chadwick Boseman is alive, it would probably be
Black. Well, Black. Yeah, it would have been.
That's him. True.
But, yeah. But again, yeah. He's been dead for about 6 years.
Yeah.
Five, 6 years. You've had time to figure this stuff out.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's no one I care about seeing in Secret Wars. And yeah. Except Peter Parker, because there's no way to fuck up Peter Parker except if you're Andrew Garfield.
Got him. Nailed it. Boom. Moving on. All right.
I'm sorry. Let's definitely move on.
That's all right. I think that we've basically wrung that one dry for now. I'm sure it'll come back up. Let's talk about it. Last movie on this list, Mickey 17.
A deeply flawed movie that I still really like.
Yeah.
It's so scattershot. There's so much, so many flashbacks and so much information that they have to dump on you real quick so you understand the next scene. There's so much narration, and yet
too much narration.
Watching Robert Pattinson in this world was so fun.
Yes.
I liked being there.
Yeah, I agree with that. I liked the world. I liked the story was fine. I thought the narration really just kind of that felt a little crutchy. And like it almost didn't trust itself to just like go for whatever reason. But overall, it was fine. I don't know. I was like, am I watching Starship Troopers? But then they kind of realize that they're in a propaganda ad at some point and start like fighting back. And that was cool. I'm into that. So, I thought it was good, but not great. But Russ also gave it a huge, huge 4.5 on Letterboxd. So
I really, really, really liked it. But I also am fully aware of the fact that this movie has holes in it. The narration at first bothered me, as a flashback, but then I was like, it's a way to hear him talk a lot, and I like hearing him talk like this, so that's pretty cool. I loved all the scenery chewing from Smart Hulk.
Buffalo?
And Hereditary. I can't remember anybody's name anymore.
No, it is.
Could be a side effect of turning the age I'm turning. And then
been there already for like a year.
One of the only major issues I had was when we meet Mickey 17 and 18, and with their love interest, there's like some stuff that totally just felt weird when we consider where the movie ends and like who become. So I was just like, what are we doing here? Like, I don't know how I'm supposed to feel about this. But all in all, really fun. I thought those little guys were so cute.
Yes, they were. They were adorable.
Yeah.
And I want one. And they should have been a little scary, but they or gross. And they found a way to just be. Oh, yeah. They found a way to just be adorable. But yeah, this was. I don't know why this movie was made.
that's the kind of
Warner Brothers. Yeah. I could have told you this movie wasn't going to do well.
Well, that was finished like this... 2 years ago, right? Like,
yes.
This has been it was supposed to come out last year.
Why did you give this $100 million? Listen, I love Bong Joon-ho as much as literally the next guy, but how he was able to get this made at this budget is astounding great. Without having to go to like Netflix.
Yes, totally.
And it's so, but the weird thing about that is like, it shouldn't have had that price tag.
No.
Because what it made like 35 this weekend.
Maybe I don't think it even made that.
Hey, look it up.
Yeah, let's look it up. Yeah.
Oh no! It only made
like 20, right?
It made 25 about when since its release last week. Made 50 worldwide. That's what I expect from Bong Joon-ho's next movie.
Yeah. Yes. Totally.
But like, that's a problem complaining about that. Like I can't remember who I've heard it from before, but like the phrase, like every movie should feel like a bank robbery, that a director got away with something.
Right.
We should be fleecing the studios of their money and getting anything made at any price. Who cares? It's the complaint afterwards. It's like, who thought in their wildest mind, even though Parasite rules, Best Picture winner, it was also 6 years ago.
Yeah, it was a long time ago.
Not a wildly high-grossing film in the U.S. either.
No. And it
nor would you expect it to
almost make. Nothing to make. Like
that movie made $53 million in total in the U.S.
That's crazy.
It's worldwide is out of it. So it made...
Right.
Like it made $210 million worldwide. On
and
top,
I always got that Criterion money.
Yeah, on top of the 53. So right. Like, but so who was, I don't know who was expecting this to be a $200 million grosser to recoup a $100 million budget and then a year and a half of stop and start press.
Like it's not big enough to be a fucking, forget four quadrant. Like two quadrant. This is not big enough to be that. And it's not small enough. It's like, it's a very weird land to live in from a budgetary standpoint. You either need to give this movie $200 million and say, go big, or give it 40 and say, figure out how to do this for 40.
Yes. Great.
Like $100 million is a weird number these days.
Weird number for this. Yeah.
And for this movie with Pattinson, and like I'm sure they saved on actors because a lot of these people probably would have done it for cheaper because they're interested, like Toni Collette, Mark Ruffalo, Steven Yeun, like no one. And Pattinson will do weird shit all day long. He's great in this movie, and this movie has I like it because it's a nice entryway for people to understand like class war, class politics, and class consciousness. It's like, I wouldn't play this in a school, but maybe if I was like, I don't know, a college professor and I was pretty cool, this would be like a movie I'd play for freshmen in like some kind of intro level class.
Yeah, I can see that. Totally.
And there's got to be a place for people to understand that they're trying to kill us.
I don't know how much of this was in the trailers, but I knew the conceit of like, you know, Mickey keeps getting reprinted kind of thing. But I was shocked about how hard the script goes on. Like, it's not that he's dying on accident. They are attempting to kill him constantly.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yep.
I was shocked by that. I was like, this is brutal.
Yeah.
And I liked how over the top that was.
Yeah.
And I liked, I liked how over the top Toni Collette's love of sauces is like, it's such
a. Oh, it's so funny.
That's very good. That's very funny.
Fun, dumb character thing to be obsessed with.
Yeah.
And especially like her, when she cuts up the tail, puts it in the blender, she's like, try the sauce. try this sauce I made. I was like, you just blended a tail.
That was it.
Make anything. It's one ingredient.
I loved like that. I loved and kept doing. And as you said, like Robert Pattinson is so fun to hang out with in this movie, though. So that's why it really works.
That is the best part of the movie. Good, and he's basically in it for the whole time. I think that it's fine. Never read the book, but also I don't know what I really expected to be fair either. Like you've seen like The Host and other things similarly. It feels like in a very similar vein to like kind of everything else he's done in a lot of ways. So and I really I enjoy all of them. So.
Yeah, it's not as silly as Host or Okja, and it's not as like
kind of Okja.
It's not as like serious as Snowpiercer while still having the same sort of core message.
Yeah,
I wish it was a little funnier, I think would be my biggest complaint too. While being fun, while being like I'm kind of smiling, liking the world fun, I wish it was a little bit more laugh out loud.
I wonder if, like, on a second watch, this would be funnier. Like, if now that you kind of, like, know what's happening and, like, aren't as, I don't know, maybe trying to figure out, like, what's going to happen or looking through things, like, if just, like, letting it all wash over you, this ends up being a much funnier movie, which I think it probably will be because some of the narration points are incredibly funny. Him signing up in the beginning, very funny. There's a lot of good bits throughout it, so I could see that.
Great.
All right, let's close this thing out. What do we have coming up in the future
for the
podcast? Yeah.
I don't see us, looking at the list, I really don't see us maybe coming back together until like
April.
I would say late April.
Wow.
Okay. At best.
Maybe not podcasting until after Sinners comes out.
We got Sinners. We got what is Black Bag. When is Thunderbolts? Is that like
May?
That's May. So March is kind of weird. I want to see Black Bag because Soderbergh's been fun lately. I'm gonna give Novocaine a try, as we said.
I'll see it.
I'm happy the Looney Tunes movie is getting a theater release.
Pretty psyched.
Snow White looks like a piece of shit.
Ben's getting ripped apart.
They're trying to bury that shit.
Yes, they are.
That Jonathan Majors, which is a bummer because I think Rachel Zegler's so talented. That Jonathan Majors movie that premiered 2 years ago.
Oh, Bagsy Dreams.
Is finally coming out.
Oh, okay.
Death of the Unicorn is supposed to not be that great.
That movie, the trailer looked weird. I was just like, I don't even know what's going on here.
I can't believe there's another Alexander in the terrible, horrible movie. Just learning about now. Minecraft.
I just assumed that was like a Disney Plus.
Yeah, that's what I would expect as well.
Nothing really that big or interesting until Sinners. Sinners is the same week as the Wedding Banquet remake. And then the week after that is The Accountant 2. And as a person who's willing to be a dad for 2 hours, I'm excited for The Accountant 2.
Okay.
Pure dad cinema.
Yeah. The Accountant 1 was fine.
Yeah, I like The Accountant 1.
I didn't see it, but I'm sure it's for me.
And then Thunderbolts next week, May. So maybe after Sinners, or we wait until Thunderbolts.
It's gonna be either end of April or a week after in May because there's no Until Dawn that comes out.
Oh, that I'm excited for. Yeah, that'll be fun.
Yeah, we'll see. It might be after May. It might be right after Sinners, because it doesn't look like a ton of like must sees.
Yeah,
and really, it's going to be like, do we have one more on Skype, or do we have to figure out how we record this thing going forward?
Right,
Live film podcast.
Oh God! All right, yeah, no, I guess we could probably do that. I'm sure that there's tons of tools out there that people use to call each other. So.
Yeah. Yeah, but then May and June really ramp up, so we're gonna have to get one in at some point. So
yeah. So we'll be back soon at some point, maybe with better audio quality, maybe the same. Who knows? Till then, though, you can find us on the web, moviemoviepodcast.com. You can find Russ on all the social medias as Russ Incredible. You can find Peter on Letterboxd as 12 Angry Peters, something like that. You can find me in Letterboxd Strava as Johnny Tiggs. Alex has already dropped off the call, so you can't find him anywhere. That's it for this time.
He has been, like, ignoring us.
Yeah.
Before, to be clear, the Captain America discussion.
Yes, he did. So that is it for this time. Thank you all for listening. Thank you for joining. And we'll see you next time on the Movie Podcast.
I'm Brad Hulk.